two had no idea how to raise a child of their own. So they decided to raise their son in that warrior way.
I'm Dime Roberts. Stage and studio, we're listening to a clip from the searingly satirical play Between Two Knees, an indigenous production currently running at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. I'll talk with one of the amazing actors in the show and then one of the writers of the sketch comedy group 1491s that was co-commissioned along with New Native Theater to write Between Two Knees. This is a live edition of Stage and Studio, so stay tuned.
Play fit for a true warrior.
Thanks.
Remember, gotta cut through bone like butter.
Wow. Okay, I'm Dee Mae Roberts, and we just heard a clip from Between Two Knees, and I just love that show so much. I really had to talk to some of the amazing talent in it. With me live via phone is actor Justin Gauthier. Did I get your name right? Are you there?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he plays Larry. You play Larry in Between Two Knees at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival, along with other roles. Justin, it's so great. Thanks for joining me from Ashland today.
No problem, Dime.
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed your performance, and I went with a group of people, my theater company, and they just loved this show so much, and it was just an amazing performance and also just a wonderful production at OSF. It was funny, painful, brilliant, and a journey through more than 100 years of history covering Wounded Knee Massacre, Indian boarding schools, World War II and Vietnam, and then the takeover of Wounded Knee in 1973. And this is a huge story to tell in a stage play. What did you think the first time you read this script?
Well, the first bit of the script I got was the prologue, which is the opening part of the play. I don't want to do any spoilers, but last summer, Miggazy Pensino, one of the 1491s, who's a friend of mine, and we went to our master's program together at the Institute for American Indian Arts in Santa Fe. He told me years ago that the 1491s were working on a commission for OSF, and he basically told me that, you know, they may tap me on the shoulder someday to do something. So last summer, I sort of put it in the back of my mind, you know. A couple of years later, here last summer, I got an email from him of the opening monologue, the opening prologue. And I read it and immediately thought to myself, well, I have to do this. It's so, just the opening speech is so incendiary. It's so, there's such care given in the writing. You can see that that they're trying to, you know, bridge cultures in a very open way, you know. And it's very, and it can be abrasive for some audiences, that opening prologue. But I think that the prologue sort of really encapsulates the entire script. For me, my character especially. So yeah, but reading it, I thought to myself, you know, there's nothing that I've ever heard on the American stage that's been done like this.
I don't think so.
I was excited.
Yeah.
I was really excited.
There really is nothing like this that, you know, I think in theater history, to tell you the truth, American theater history, definitely. So, you know, if people want to, your opening monologue is very satirical and it's hard, you know, it's really a gut punch, but it's also funny. You know, and it could rub people the wrong way, you know.
Sure.
Did you ever worry? I don't know why, but would, you know, what has been the indigenous response to this?
Well, I feel like, you know.
I mean, I'm sure it's across the board.
Sure. Yeah. In general, we have mostly non-Native audiences, you know, majority non-Native audiences here. But when we have had indigenous people in the audience and when they do take the time to speak with us after the show or reach out to us on social media or anything like that, you know, the response has always been people are agog. You know, they're very awestruck by what the guys have done with the script because, like you said, you know, there's nothing that's been done like this before. That voice, you know, that sort of activist voice, the strong, you know, the strong message that's put through in the play. Yeah, it hasn't been done before. So the indigenous reaction is, you know, mostly really positive and really, you know, really it runs the gamut of emotion for people. And I think that hits even harder with for our indigenous, you know, audiences.
Well, there are some things that I would imagine that needed to be said that you can say through comedy, you know, that you can, you know, that is really hard to go right to the core of some of the things, you know, some of the issues, you know, that you would, that comes up all the time, you know, regarding the history, the racism, the genocide, you know, and it's, I think it's just brilliant. I'm just speechless. I was speechless. And there were times where I felt so shocked, but then I also laughed, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, really, it does live on that razor's edge, you know, for the audience. And we as an acting company or as our little troupe here, you know, we, the script is so multi-layered, multifaceted that even now, you know, at this stage of the run, we're getting towards the end of the run, and even now we're still finding opportunities for laughs, opportunities for teaching within the, you know, within the dialogues, so, and then within the monologues. So it's very it's an honor to be given a script, you know, of that caliber. And it's just an amazing, it's an amazing first script from those guys. So,
oh yeah, I can't wait to talk to Dallas about the development of it. But you're a veteran actor, and I would imagine it's difficult, you know, to find roles that that have the kind of representation that, you know, that you would really like to do within the indigenous community. Tell us about that journey. I mean, how, you know, how special is this?
Well, it's actually, this is my first, like, professional production. So I had done regional theater about 10 years ago in Northeast Wisconsin for the College of Menominee Nation. It was a Toronto at Dreamers Rock, directed by Ryan Wynn there in the English department. And I really enjoyed, you know, that production. And I just sort of went through my academic career. I got my bachelor's and master's, and wasn't really focusing on acting so much. I was focusing more on screenwriting. So when this opportunity came up, it was a, you know, it was really a unique opportunity for me. So I took the chance, rolled the dice, came out here, and just I'm so amazed with the caliber of talent that's here. A few of the other players in our little troupe are really veteran actors, and I relied heavily on them to help me, to get me ready, you know, for my stage, work on my stage persona, work on the dialogue, work on the monologues. And yeah, it's just been I guess you could say that it sort of fell in my lap in many ways, this role. And and there's a sort of kismet to it, because when I first read that opening prologue, you know, I could hear the voice of my dad in there. My dad was a Native education activist back in the late 60s, 70s, and a Native artist. And so yeah, I just knew I felt the ownership almost immediately of the role, and knew that I wanted to do it. And like you said, the representation for characters in stage and screen is severely limited, and it's sort of laser focused on this one idea of what Native identity is. And what this play is doing is sort of just blowing that whole idea out of the water and saying, you know, we're all of that, but we're also, you know, we're also video game lovers. We're also, you know, social commentary, our social commentators, you know, we're also, you know, very aware of what's going on in the world outside of our communities, but it's very much a love letter to those, you know, Native communities. And I wish more Native people could see the play, you know.
I do too. But you know, as an actor in Between Two Knees, you have to be on stage almost the entire time in multiple roles. And what's the most challenging for you?
I think for me, there's in the second act, there's like a 4-minute chunk of time where I'm on stage doing this what we call lovingly call the Mickey rant. That's sort of a real divergence from what's going on the stage. So I go up on stage and I sort of do like this 4-minute monologue about a character who's not even in the play and doesn't really have much to do with the narrative that's going on.
I remember that. Yeah.
And it's based on one of the skits from the 1491's live shows. In that particular moment on stage, I feel a lot of the weight of what I'm saying, because a lot of it is nonsense and leading the audience down, you know, sort of these cul-de-sacs of narrative and bringing them back. But then there's a spot in the middle where I just sort of call out the over-culture. You know, I just call them out about things that have happened in the past, you know, and that it's always like a ramp up for me to get to that, but it's also supremely satisfying to say those things on stage and just sort of make people think, you know, think again about what their role is in today's society. Because the topic that we're talking about in that scene is about, you know, children being separated from their parents. So
yes.
It's really, you know, topical. It's really topical for today.
It really is.
But what we're talking about, you know, happened in the recent past in the play. So
yeah, and there's a long history of that we are continuing, unfortunately, with this current.
That's right.
Government. Okay. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio. If you missed any of this show so far, go to stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio and hear the podcast later today. I'm here. I'm enjoying this conversation with my guest, Justin Gauthier, and he is featured in Between Two Knees, currently running at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and you can find out more about that show on the sites that I just referenced, but also the season schedule you can find at osfashland.org. Joining Justin and me on the phone right now is Dallas Goldtooth, one of the members of the comedy troupe, the 1491s, who were co-commissioned to write Between Two Knees with New Native Theater. Hello, Dallas. Are you there?
I'm here.
And Justin's here, too. I assume you two have met before, right?
Yeah.
That sucker owes me $10.
Uh-oh, Justin, I got you in trouble. I've seen shows at OSF for decades, and Between Two Knees is one of the most impactful and memorable in recent years. How was it for you to work on this production at OSF with Justin?
Well, I got to say that Justin, there's no one else that could have brought this character to life. Justin did such an amazing job, and I remember... He actually sent the 1491s and us an audition tape, and it was the most low budget, cheap, poorly filmed audition tape I've ever seen in my life. He just did a really crappy job, but he did a crappy job so well, we said he has to be in the show. So I'm really proud of his work, and also all the other cast. I think that what was, you know, the 1491s were a group of five Indigenous men were absolutely all about the collaborative process of creativity and making something amazing. And we really wanted to bring that into the creation of this play. So, you know, amazing folks like Justin really helped bring it to life. You know, there was a lot of moments of reflection where, you know, just seeing the actors and, you know, practice this and run it through, that we actually made changes based on what we saw being reflected in the audition or in the rehearsal space. So it definitely is this play is a child birthed by many people. Like, we all collectively gave birth to it in a very visceral and visual way.
Was it more than a 9-month birth But how long was the process?
This was a two. This is like a. This baby was gestating for
like
years.
An elephant does. I think they gestate for
exactly.
2 years.
This is an indigenous elephant baby that had like earrings and dream catcher necklace and everything.
Well, how did the process go? How did you collaborate with New Native Theater and OSF, and you know who kind of did what?
Yeah, well, American Revolutions program at OSF is really what brought us in. We had an opportunity to say, hey, they were like, would you all be interested in, you know, basically writing, pitching us a story and seeing if we would be willing to commission it. And it worked out.
Yeah.
And it was a series of just journeys of getting together into a room, talking with each other, of really trying to figure out what's the story we want to tell. You know, how do we, you know, What do we want to share on the stage? We've never done something like this before, so it was terrifying, but very exciting to do. And I think really it came down to is like we wanted to speak to a reality that a lot of Native artists experience, especially Native artists who are filmmakers or who do a lot of stage work and playwrights, is that Native stories have been so invisible, that there's been such a lack of Native stories on stage and on screen that oftentimes artists feel like compelled, like, oh man, I have this slim short window here to tell quote unquote our story, so I'm just going to tell it all, and they end up packing everything in because we feel the pressure of like there's such low bandwidth of Native storytellers out there that we have to like carry this responsibility to speak for everybody when it shouldn't be like that.
It shouldn't be like that. Yeah. I mean, most people don't understand that. And that might be the only opportunity, you know, to be able to tell this particular story.
And that's where our challenge is like, you know, forget that. You know, I was going to say another F word, but I was told I can't.
You
so
can't. Well, anyway.
Forget
yeah, forget that. That's the word.
Yeah, F that. You know, the F that process, we're going to challenge as much as possible. And hats off to OSF for providing that space for us to really tell a story on our terms. But also, we as storytellers wanted to talk history, and subvert that, right? Is there's all this expectation, there's all this, like, assumptions about what Wounded Knee means, what the American Indian Movement meant, or what the Civil Rights Movement meant. And this is an opportunity for us to really kind of subvert that to as best of our capability.
And it does do that, but it also, I mean, humor is also a way, I mean, it's an important part of healing and survival too, you know, for any cultural community. And I think that this, do you feel that you've created a piece that heals, that also, you know, that brings up everything, but also, you know, puts it in a context that we can have a discussion about?
I feel it. I hope it does. I think, honestly, that's the beauty and the power of art, is we create it with this intention, but how people respond to it is up to them. From the people we've talked to, the people that have seen it, some of our family members, it has brought a sense of healing. It does kind of hit home, quote-unquote, hits to the heart of a lot of what our communities and families carry. You know, it's a question I actually would ask, you know, Justin, as a performer, as a Native performer, as an actor, and a screenwriter, like, does he find healing out of it? You know, that's something like where I really want to be, like, put it out there, like, how do people respond to it? I feel like it was therapeutic for me. I found I felt good calling out white people. It felt good, like putting it out there, like checking people's like own assumptions about what Native people are and what we find humorous. It really depends on how other folks took it, though.
Justin, did you want to comment on that?
Sure. Yeah, sure. I know being on stage, you know, with that character and with the story, while you're in it, it's sort of like a tempest. You know, it's a comedy whirlwind. There's a lot of emotion that's flying around on stage, I just like to, you know, name our cast. if possible.
Go ahead. Sure.
Sean Taylor Corbett, Eric Garza, James Ryan, Sheila Towsley, Woodco Long, Shyla Leffner, April Ortiz, myself. You know, we all love this play. You know, and we sort of band together. We banded together right away over the not just the subject matter, but also, you know, what our roles are in that story, and in our families and in our communities. We really latched onto it right away. So I think that comes across on stage in that we're having fun while doing this. But I know speaking with a community member out here, who has seen the play a couple times, she stated to me that, you know, the first time she saw it, it's like, it's so intricate. It's like a surgery that happens, she said. And she was in the medical field. But she used that as the analogy. She said, the first time I saw it, it was like surgery, like open heart surgery. You know, like all my emotions were right on top. And I just felt so captivated by what was going on and what was being said. And then the second time she saw it, she said it was like brain surgery. So she could be a little more cerebral about her viewing because she had seen it once before. But that second time, she said it hit her in an even more impactful way because she saw what was going on underneath just sort of the dialogue and the monologues. And, you know, so it's definitely worth seeing a couple times. I know my family members saw it a couple times and they, you know, they loved it, all the viewings that they saw. So
I love that analogy. I'm Dee Mae Roberts, Stage and Studio, talking with Justin Gauthier. I'm kind of overwhelmed right now. In Between Two Knees, and writer Dallas Goldtooth, one of the members of the comedy troupe, the 1491s, who were commissioned to write Between Two Knees. I'd like to also talk about just, you know, the aspect. You know, it's described as sketch comedy, but this is really such a well thought out, well, you know, written play, you know, stage play, theatrical play. How do you view it? You know, I mean, yes, you could take certain pieces of it and they're kind of complete, but it just so seamless, the what was done, how you created this, how everyone created
I appreciate to hear that. It's good to hear. I think that I mean, we're storytellers. That's who our 1491s. That's what we do, and we come from communities that have a long tradition of storytelling, of storytellers. And you know, the play is very much a reflection of a lot of our different experiences as young men growing up in our communities, and growing up in communities who have a history of resisting colonization, who have an active history of resisting colonization in the moment, like even up to this to today. And within that tradition, there's numerous stories, numerous moments that people reflect upon, and they really cherish them. They really carry them close to the heart. And so for some people say, well, this is very eclectic. It's all over the map. You're talking about Wounded Knee 1, and then you're talking about World War II, and then you're talking about Vietnam, like, and you're talking about the future. Like, how is that possible? Like, that's our everyday conversation around the coffee table in many of our households. Like, when I'm listening to one of my uncles talking about Vietnam, there's bound to be a reference to the boarding school era and what happened to his parents. There's bound to be a discussion about, you know, massacres that happened to our peoples farther back than the boarding school. Like, it just really is a reflection of the nature of historical trauma, that we can't dissect these traumatic events as isolated moments, but that it's a whole, you know, it's a whole cycle that each one of us as individuals and as communities carry. And so we just tried our best to try to reflect that on stage, and so happy with the way it came out, and really encourage folks to check that out, to kind of see it from the inside, from the perspective of folks that grew up in these communities.
Well, I think Between Two Knees is, you know, important and historic in, you know, in the works of Indigenous American theater. And I'm wondering, do you think that this will open up more collaborations and commissions, you know, for, you know, from national theater companies? Will this play be able to be produced? You know, because that's also the next thing. It's like, I would really love for, you know, so many communities across the nation to be able to see this work.
Oh, absolutely. We're already looking ahead of seeing where this play goes next. We're excited about the potential. There's already been inquiries from various theaters across the country.
Good.
Who are intrigued to see about what, you know, if we could bring it there. You know, it's a very intricate, I mean, there's a lot happening on stage. So it's like the venues have to be very specific for some of the things that we've written.
Really, yeah. It's really complex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we are, or, you know, there are, we're already getting phone calls from various artistic directors from various theaters across the country who say they want to see Between Two Knees there. And, you know, we also have in mind, we've always had in mind from the very beginning of, like, how can we bring this also to our own communities? How do we make this accessible to Native peoples? I know Justin had mentioned that in the beginning, like OSF, that was always a big part of it. Is like, how do we make sure that Native folks in Oregon, Native peoples in Northern California and in general Northwest area can make it down to come to it, to be there, to experience the play. And so that's in our mind as well as we move forward.
And
you know, we're also already looking at writing another play that hopefully will just be just as successful, if not more.
For OSF or for just in general?
In general.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think this is an important play. I could also see taking the script to different communities too, and just doing stage readings of it, you know, mm-hmm. Just so that it gets out there. Because a lot of people, you know, don't go to theater, right? We have to come to them quite often. So I really appreciate that. We're running out of time. I really have enjoyed talking with both of you, and I just wanted one more shout out.
Can I interject one more shout out?
Just very short, yes.
Sure.
Interject.
Sure. another cast member, Rachel Crowell.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you for getting that in there. And we also have that on the website. So,
nice.
Justin Gauthier and Dallas Goldtooth, it was such a pleasure to talk with you both. And I just want to say kudos to you both and congratulations, because this is a momentous work, both from a performance, you know, point of view, but also from the script point of view. It is just tremendous and really is not to be missed. So thank you both for joining me today on Stage and Studio. You can get more info of Between Two Knees at osfashland.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have the podcast online at stageandstudio.org and kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with some music by David Arnett Cherry at davidarnettcherry.com.